Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thank you for doing that. This is your host, Dr. Mike Roizen, and we're coming to you as usual from the Cleveland Clinic. Our sponsors, LifesFirstNaturals.com, the makers of Truebiotics, Bovine Colostrum, and Dye Rescue. You'll want to go to their website, LifesFirstNaturals.com, to see the randomized, double-blind, controlled trials they've done. They're really a good company to have done randomized, double-blind, controlled trials and to publish them in peer-reviewed journals by independent investigators. So those are valuable studies. Go to their website and see why I think most people over the age of 50 should take both bovine colostrum and a probiotic, preferably a Truebiotic probiotic, daily, as well as our other sponsor, LongevityPlaybook.com. Go to their website to sign up for the free newsletter to help you live younger, longer. Our guest today, since this is a B segment, B's are always guests, the A's, the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. But our guest today is going to talk to us about unseen eye damage at any age and what you can do to prevent it or get it treated. Her full name, I can hardly spell it, RUDRANIBANIK. And if you go to that website, www.DRRANIBANIK.com, to find out more specifically about her. But to register for the free iHealth Summit, go to theihealthsummit.com. That's coming up in May. When in May is it, Dr. Rani?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on your show, Dr. Roizen. So we are hosting Summit. It's May 1st through May 7th, and May happens to be Healthy Vision Month. And the theme of our summit is really all about prevention of vision issues throughout life. So an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. That's one of the common sayings that we repeat during the summit. And there is so much people can do to protect their eye health. And I hope people join and learn about everything that is so important in terms of vision.
Is this an in-person or a screen time?
It is virtual, yes. So yes, we'll be using our eyes. It is hybrid, meaning that there will be pre-recorded interviews with our experts. We have over 35 experts speaking on the summit on all kinds of topics, ranging from dry eye to eye strain when on screens, to kids' eye health, myopia progression, ocular nutrition, lifestyle changes, diabetes, macular degeneration, cataracts. So whatever eye health topic anyone may be interested in, probably they will find it during the summit.
Does it allow questions?
Yes. Interviews are pre-recorded, but every day we will have live Q&A sessions with myself and some of our speakers and other panelists. So there will be an opportunity to ask questions live. Absolutely.
And what time is it, all day? That's May 1st to 7th. Is it, or is it just in the evening or just in the afternoon?
So the interviews will be released at 9 a.m. Eastern every day. Every day you'll receive about 4 to 5 interviews per day. And then the live session will be at 6 p.m. Eastern every day.
So 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. for those of you on the West Coast. It comes to the basic question, is vision loss unavoidable? And let's take it in the different age groups. Is the 60-year-old or the 70-year-old or the 80-year-old inevitably going to lose vision?
Absolutely not. No. So vision loss is not inevitable. There are certain things that may come up during one's lifetime, particularly with age in those age groups, such as cataracts, glaucoma, macular degeneration. But if you take the right precautions and you see your eye doctor on an annual basis, you can prevent permanent vision loss. You can prevent blindness. And many people don't realize this, but eye health is really, it should be part of our annual health maintenance. You know, we all go see the dentist twice a year, get our cleanings and our checkups. We get our mammograms or colonoscopies regularly. We see our primary doctor once a year. We get our labs done. But people don't really think about vision being part of their annual health regimen. It really needs to be. And anyone above the age of 40 should have an annual dilated eye exam because there's so much we can pick up on the eye exam that can help preempt vision loss later in life.
Well, as someone who does that, I appreciate your mentioning it also because I think it is really something that many people, as you say, overlook. And it's relatively simple and virtually painless to have such done. And obviously a big help at preventing long-term diseases. What determines whether one gets a cataract or not? So I'm 78 and haven't had cataracts to my knowledge yet, or they haven't gotten to the maturity stage where I need them. Whereas my wife had to have them operated upon about 4 years ago. What's the difference? Is it all genetics or do we do different things?
It's a combination of many things. The truth is that cataracts are a result of oxidative stress in the lens. And the longer you live, the more oxidative stress your lens sustains. So basically, everyone develops a cataract at some point in life. Most people develop it usually by their late 50s, early 60s. However, you know, what you brought up, the difference between you and your wife, Dr. Roizen, not everyone has symptoms from the cataract. So you can have a cataract and not have symptoms and not require any treatment, meaning any surgery for them. But if you have symptoms, then it's an option. And very rarely would it be an emergency type of situation that someone has to have cataract surgery. It's very, very rare. But in the vast majority of cases, it's purely elective. And I always ask my patients, you know, if they're thinking about cataract surgery, I ask them, what are the five things you love to do on a regular basis, every day? What are the five things you love to do? Whether it's reading, driving, using your phone, maybe cooking in the kitchen, watching television, whatever those five things are, if you're having trouble doing those things because you can't see because of the cataract, then maybe it's time to undergo surgery. But if you're still doing all of your daily activities with no issues, then there's no reason to rush into surgery. I know people get alarmed when they hear, oh my goodness, you have a cataract, but it's not serious the vast majority of the time.
I have a lot of screen time, and I know it affects younger people. Does it affect us old people as well? In other words, one of the things that I've learned to do is turn up the Zoom to 150% on my regular reading and writing. Does that mean I have an eye problem? And is there a way of preventing that? Or do I not worry about that? And do all the people I know who also use Zoom on their screens not have to worry about it?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, Dr. Roizen. The truth is we're all on screens. You know, our modern life is centered around screens, whether we're working or we're in school or we're interacting, we're connecting with our friends and family, or where we're watching television or Netflix. Screen time is part of our lives. And the truth is there is no permanent damage that you do to your eyes by using screens. There can be some short-term issues, like we call this syndrome digital screen fatigue. So digital vision syndrome, there are many different names for it, digital eye strain. But the good news is that a lot of those things, the symptoms can be prevented. I typically recommend five things for people to do to prevent this, and I can go through with you what they are, but they're pretty simple. And in terms of, you know, having to increase the font size, that's normal. That happens, especially as people get into their 40s, 50s. They have more trouble reading up close, so that's totally okay to increase your font size. It's not a problem at all.
I know one of the things from reading about you is 20/20/20. But I don't know the other four. So tell us about all five, including the 20/20/20.
Sure. So 20/20/20 is, you know, we think of 20/20 as perfect vision. But what the 20/20/20 rule is, when you're on a screen, give yourself a break. So basically every 20 minutes, set your timer, take a 20-second break and look at something about 20 feet away. And the whole purpose of this is to relax your eye muscles so they don't get tired, so they don't get fatigued. That's the very first thing people can do to limit digital eye strain. The second thing would be something as simple as just blinking. So many people don't realize that when you're on a screen, you blink a lot less. Normally, people blink about 20 times per minute, but when we're looking at screens, we only blink about 3 to 5 times per minute. And what that causes is it causes dry eye. It causes our eyes to dry out, the tears evaporate. And so if you just blink, like be mindful and blink more often and blink a little bit more forcefully, you'll feel your tears lubricating your eyes much better. That's number two. Number three is simply to just limit the exposure to blue light. And rather than to get blue blocking glasses, I know that there's been a lot of hype out there about blue blocking glasses. Many opticians recommend it. But honestly, there's no research study to prove that blue blocking glasses help. Like there's zero scientific evidence to show that. Rather, you can use screen filter apps. You can reduce the brightness on your screen. And I'll talk about this in a little bit, but you can use nutrition to fight against blue light as well. And then number four, just get outside more. Not only does it kind of prevent you from having to look at the screen, but especially for younger people, especially children, there are studies to show that when kids spend more time outdoors, at least 2 hours a day outdoors, they have a decreased risk of myopia progression. This is so important because myopia, it's really an epidemic. And there are estimates that by the year 2050, 50% of the population will be myopic. And probably it has to do with our looking up close at our screens all the time, this increase in myopia. So simply get outside, expose your eyes to some sunlight, and do some other activities rather than being on screens. And then finally, eat foods that are rich in lutein and zeaxanthin. Have you ever heard of those two nutrients, Dr. Roizen? Lutein and zeaxanthin?
I have. Obviously, lutein and zeaxanthin I take routinely with my DHA. So I take all three in the same supplement. And I'm going to give you a quiz in a second back. So yes, I do. And I do know of them and I try and get them.
They are so important. I'm so glad you also said the omega. So lutein, zeaxanthin, these are carotenoids. They're found in leafy greens and yellow and orange fruits and vegetables, but they help to support eye health. They help to protect the retina against macular degeneration and UV light and blue light. So rather than get blue blocking glasses, I always tell my patients, eat more lutein and zeaxanthin. And there's also evidence to show that omega-3 fatty acids are very important for retinal health. Actually, the highest concentration of omega-3 in the body is actually in the retina, in the photoreceptors in the retina. So we need a good supply of DHA for our retina health as well as EPA.
Now, my quiz is, how did it get to be known that carrots are so good for the eyes?
Great question. It actually came out of World War II. Yeah, during World War II, what was happening was that the Nazis were dropping bombs on England in the middle of the night. And somehow the British Air Force were able to shoot down those Nazi fighter planes, and the Nazis couldn't figure out how they were doing that. And the British started spreading this rumor that their pilots were all eating carrots, so they had excellent night vision. So that's how the myth came about. It's not a pure myth because absolutely carrots are beneficial, but carrots are not the be-all and end-all when it comes to ocular nutrition.
It was actually the British and American Air Forces didn't want the Germans to know we had radar.
Yes, it was a cover-up.
Yes, it was a great cover-up. So you are the first person who's known that story that I've ever asked it to. So you are an eye professional par excellence. Very good.
I share that story in all of my lectures. I always tell that story and they smile. They get a good laugh out of it.
Yes, and I use the expression Bugs Bunny is topped by Popeye. Popeye tops Bugs Bunny for the eyes.
That is true. Yes, absolutely. Eat your spinach, eat your leafy greens. You'll get lots of lutein and zeaxanthin.
We've talked about the over 50. Now let's flip down to the grandkids, if you will, or the kids, or the children. So what do we do? They're always on the screens now once they hit whatever it is, age 12. What do we do about it?
Yeah, and actually nowadays it's before age 12. You see, little kids at restaurants with their families, they're on their iPads being distracted by their screen. So there are actually recommendations based on age for screen time in children. So this may be interesting to some people that children under the age of 2 should not be on screens at all, unless it's very briefly, maybe to FaceTime with grandma or grandpa, that's about it. Children between the ages of 2 to 5, they should only be on screens about less than an hour per day, and up to age 13, no more than 2 hours per day. So we know that most of our kids these days are well surpassing those screen limits. What I would say, I'm also a parent, so I know this is really, you know, it's a big issue amongst kids, you know, how much time they spend on screens. They basically should do the same things that we do. So use the 20/20/20 rule, blink a lot, use some screen filter apps to reduce the brightness, make sure your kids are getting outdoors, and eat foods that are rich in these nutrients to protect their eyes. I mean, those are the most important things by far. And take a supplement. You know, sometimes people don't get enough lutein and zeaxanthin, and supplementation is appropriate. It's absolutely important.
We're talking with Dr. Ronnie. She is hosting a free eye summit. It's called the Eye Health Summit, the EYE Health Summit.com, from May 1st to 7th. From 9 a.m. till, I guess, questions are done sometime after 6 p.m. The questions start at 6 p.m., but it's a free 35 expert-led discussions on topics from eye strain and ocular nutrition to cutting-edge advances in eye health. If you have eyes, this is a great place to go. It is virtual, so sign up. It's free. The EYEIHealthSummit.com. This has been great information. I love it. So 20/20/20, blink. Then it is use the blue light.
Oh, the screen. Yes, the screen filter apps for blue light.
Mm-hmm. Right. Blue light, then outdoor time, and key nutrients like lutein, zeaxanthin, and omega-3 fatty acids. Thank you very much. And I've been doing 20/20/20 while we're doing it every 8 minutes or so. So thank you. It's something I need to do. May all of you listening, all 50,000 of you, if you get any time or pass the word along to your friends, the Eye Health Summit. And if you have any questions, remember 6 p.m., you get a free shot at experts to answer your questions about the eye health. Like, when should you take what vitamins and when? What does it help with that I didn't get a chance to get to? Thank you very much. And remember, we're brought to you by longevityplaybook.com. You'll want to sign up for the free newsletter at longevityplaybook.com and live younger longer, as well as lifesfirstnaturals.com, the makers of Truebiotics, Bovine Colostrum, and Dye Rescue. Thank you, our listeners. You're the reason we do this. Remember the A segment, the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. Remember the EyeHealthSummit.com. Thanks again.